I began to pray and seek God about this service on into last week. Just been really asking God to help us and couldn't get away from this. So I want to read to you out of the book of Luke. Book of Luke chapter 22. I want to thank you for the invitation to come and your giving and all that you've done already. We're just excited about being here. We love Brother and Sister Myers so much. They're just so, I don't think they understand how important they are to us. And you've got a great pastor. And I'm telling you, you better treat him right. You better treat him right, because there's plenty of churches out there that are dying, begging for pastors like Brother Myers. And I know several right now that scoop him up. So you better treat him right. And not only that, but a pastor's wife that'll get in, be a part of the vision. I've been to several places and seen, and I got you on your feet, several places, several preachers. And the preacher's wife, I was talking the other night about leaving preacher's wives at home. My wife's leaving home, staying at home. I said, well, it would be different, Sister Myers, if a lot of preacher's wives don't do nothing anyway. So that when they're not there, you don't know if they're there or not. But like in my case, if my wife's not here, everybody knows she's not here. So you're very honored, amen, to have, amen, a couple like you have. So we're so glad to be a part of it, amen. We love y'all very much. We want to read to you the book of Luke chapter 22, something very dear, very heavy on my heart, and I believe the Lord will help us. Luke chapter 22, just want to read one verse of scripture. You look like a one verse crowd tonight, this morning, amen. Verse 31, Luke 22 and 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Amen. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Amen. I want you to say this with me. Amen. The enemy is after me. Amen. The enemy is after me is what I want to preach to you this morning. Would you stretch your hands this way? Ask God to help us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that it's not by mind nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, there's nothing in me that can produce, Lord, your presence. There's nothing in me that can produce a breakthrough in the hearts and the lives of individuals, Lord, but your anointing. I'll do the work here this morning that needs to be done. Lord, if I could do it myself, I wouldn't need you. God, but I can't do it this morning. I'm needing you, God, to intervene in this service. God, and deal with the heart. Move in our lives, each and every heart, each and every life. God, would you do it this morning? We're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for standing for the reading this morning. Amen. As we begin to find ourselves in Luke chapter 22, just previous to the text that we read to you, there's a discussion, even a strife, the Bible says, among the disciples as who, which one of them should be accounted the greatest among them. Amen. And Jesus begins to go into a discourse, amen, about that. And I can imagine Peter being the spokesman that he is, and being the one that's always the one that speaks out. I can see that he probably is the head of the conversation, the head of the argument. Amen. He's in that inner circle of disciples, and no doubt there's an argument going on between them. But right in the middle of Jesus explaining, amen, about who is the greatest and what it means to be the greatest in the kingdom, he turns to Simon Peter and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might shift you as we. Amen. As they're arguing, I believe Jesus turns to him. Amen. And when Jesus repeated a name twice, when he says Simon, Simon, repeating his name, it is an intention of an expression of love. I believe Jesus, in a kind and a loving rebuke, turns to Simon and says, Peter, you're worried about the wrong thing. You're concerned about the wrong thing. You're consuming yourself with the wrong thing. Amen. What you need to be worried about is that there is a devil, there is an enemy, and he desires to have you, and he might sift you as wheat. Amen. Now, what does that mean, to be sifted as wheat? It means that when that grain is agitated, amen, when that grain is shaken, they would take the wheat, and they would take it up to a high mountain, and they would throw it in the air, and that wind would come by and blow that outer hull of that chaff away, and that good part of that wheat would fall down to the ground. Amen. And God is telling, Jesus is telling him, he says that Satan is going to come by and he's going to do everything he can to shake you. He's going to do everything he can to agitate you. He's going to do everything he can, our God, to get that wheat. What is that wheat? That wheat is the life that is inside of that grain. Amen. That outer hole does nothing but hold that life that is inside of that wheat. Amen. Just like this flesh is nothing but an outer hole. Our God, to save and to preserve the life, our God, that God put inside of us. Amen. And God's saying, Jesus is saying, Peter, amen, he's going to try to shake you. He's going to try to agitate you. He's going to do everything he can because he wants that life that God put on the inside of you. He don't want it there anymore. He wants you left as nothing but an empty hole. He wants you nothing left, our God, than an outward sign of what used to be. Amen. He doesn't want anything left inside of you. Amen. You know God is a spirit and Satan is a spirit, and they both, God requires a body. He doesn't need one, but he uses a body. Amen. Satan has to have a body. Amen. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, amen, Satan wants your body. Amen. He wants to take out what God put on the inside of you, I got, so he can use that vessel, I got, to bring glory to his own kingdom. Amen. Satan is getting ready to shake you, I got, to see if there would be any faith left in you at all. Amen. Why? Because Satan has desired to have you. It's a very important thing this morning. It's a very serious situation. I got, if you can only understand, if you can only come to the realization, I got, that the enemy is after me. He's not just after me to stop me going to church. He's not just after me to keep me out of Sunday school. He's not just after me, my God, to keep me living a life of godliness. But he's after me because he wants my body. He wants a vessel that he can use for his kingdom. And I'd like to serve notice on hell this morning. You can't have my body. You can't have my mind. You can't have my emotions. You can't have my children. You can't have my family. You can't have my church. I thought, devil, you might be after me, and I might be running for my life, but I know who I can run to this morning. I know where the refuge is. I know where I can find an escape. I got, somebody needs to realize this morning, I got, the enemy is after me. Oh, I got a lot of preach this morning. The enemy is after me. Amen. Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he might sift you as wheat. Amen. He likes to take the normal emotions that men and women, the normal feelings, the normal things of life, and he wants to drive them to be abnormal. He wants to take your normalcy, I got, and drive it to be abnormal. It is normal emotions to feel sadness. It is a normal emotion, I got, to feel these things. But Satan likes to take those things and drive them to be abnormal. It is very normal for a man to desire a woman. It is very normal for a woman to desire a man. But Satan would desire to change that, amen, and make it abnormal. And so a man no longer desires desires a woman, that a man desires a man. Amen. Or a woman no longer desires a man. My God, but a woman desires a woman. He likes to take the normal emotions, I got up men and women and drive them to be very abnormal so he can get, amen, whatever pleasure he gets. I got out of sucking the life out of you. I want you to understand something this morning. Heaven has a plan for your life. I got, but just as much, hear me this morning, just as much as heaven has a plan for your life, hell has a plan for your life also. Just as much as there's a heaven to gain, I got, there is a hell to shun. Just as much as God in heaven desires and has a purpose in your life, just as much as there's a plan written out for you to do the work of God, hell's got a plan written out, I got, for you, I got, to be destroyed. I want you to understand that this morning, because there's a lot of people, I got, they say things like this. They say, I got, the devil hates me because I serve God. Well, that's only partly true. Amen. For the fact of the matter is, amen, that hell hated you before you served the Lord. That's right. Hell ain't never loved you. The devil ain't never loved you. You ain't never really been on the devil's side. I got, the Bible tells me that I was chosen before the foundations of the world. I got, that tells me, I got, that before I served God, I was chosen by God. And so that really means I was never the devil's anyway. That's right. Amen. Oh yes, that soul in this house, I got, maybe lost, backslid, whatever your condition, you don't belong to the devil. You still belong to God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. Hallelujah. I got, I wish you'd understand this morning, I got, that your own hell's hit list, I got, in hell's coming by to take you out. I got to understand this morning, the enemy is after me. I got, hell wants to mar, I got, the image of God in your life. Hell wants to take the image of God and do everything he can to mar the image of God. When he sees me, he sees a creation that was created in the image and likeness of God. Cows, Brother John Henry, were not made in the image of God. Amen. Cats and dogs were not made in the image and likeness of God. A man was made in the image and likeness of God. And so that tells me, when he looks at me, he sees the image of God. But not just me because I'm a preacher, and not just me because I'm saved. But when he sees that man walking down the street, he sees the image of God. And so what he wants to do is he wants to mar the image of God. My God, he wants to make you cover your body in tattoos and try to cover up what God made. He wants you to cover your body in other things and try to cover up the image of God. He wants to make it look like, my God, that you're not the image of God at all. My God, oh, but not only that, but he knows, I got, that as long as you've got breath in your body, you've got the capability of praising the Lord. For the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. I got, oh yes. So he ain't going to stop just because I quit going to Sunday school. He ain't going to stop just because I didn't come to homecoming. He ain't going to stop just because I quit preaching. He's not going to stop until the breath is out of my body. I got, oh, I'm feeling it right here. I got, I want to tell you right here this morning. I got, some of us say, well, if I could just get out of the church, the devil will leave me alone. Well, if I could just get out from under, I got, Pastor Myers, the devil will leave me alone. I got, you're wrong. That's a lie out of hell. Because he ain't going to stop. That's because you quit coming to Sunday morning service.
He's not going to stop until the breath is out of your body. That's right. His only goal is to steal and to kill and to destroy. You need to wake up this morning and realize the enemy is after me. The enemy is after me. He's not going to stop. That's because I give up on some things. He's not going to stop until the breath is out of my body. I wish I could preach to you. He changed the Romans 1 and 23. It says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man. He wants more than your religion. He wants your breath. Oh yes. I said he wants more than your religion. He wants your breath. We have to understand that hell is an organized force. That there are spirits that are working together to take you out. That there are spirits that are working and manipulating together. I got to destroy your life. You have to understand that hell is not an unorganized mess. Even Jesus himself recognized it. Amen. They come to Jesus and they said, you're casting out devils by the power of the devil. Jesus said, no. He said, no kingdom. I got divided against itself can stand. He said, if I was casting out devils in the name of the devil, then the kingdom of hell could not stand. He recognized that hell was more, our God, than just some wicked group of boys trying to do some harm. Hell is more, our God, than just some bad place you go to if you don't live right. Hell is more than that. Our God, there are spirits, our God, that are working together, our God, to destroy your life. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this present world. Amen. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. I got, you have to understand, I got, that the enemy that you're up against is not just some mad little devil with a pitchfork. I got, he's a spirit, I got, that wants to take away your very life. Oh yes. Amen. Oh, that, that's Ephesians 6 and 12. When I just quote it to you, it lets us know that there are divisions of hell. Principalities. Amen. Has to do with regions. It's regional spirits. Amen. Spirits are after more than just one person at a time. Amen. They're after whole regions. Amen. That's why when we read in Mark, and when you read in Mark 5 and 10, how God, when Jesus is delivering the men of Gadara, how God, you find that when he calls the spirits out, they said, charge us not to leave the country. Are you with me? Charge us not to leave the country. You know what he's saying? You know what the spirits were saying? They were saying, we'll leave the man, but we won't leave him alone. That's right. We'll leave the vessel of the man, but we won't leave this country. Amen. We won't leave because their spirit. I got to tell you, if you didn't know it, this whole region, I got, is being bound by principalities that bind whole region. I got, you remember Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts? He had the whole city spellbound. They thought he was God. They thought he was the great power of God. That's why you find anytime Jesus goes into a new city, the first thing he does is he goes into that temple and he casts the devil out and he gets dominion in that city. You know what I believe Grace Street can do right here this morning? I believe we can take dominion. I got over Apopka, Florida. I believe we can take dominion over this region. I don't think hell's in control this morning. I believe heaven's in control. Our God, and I want to tell you this morning, hell ain't in control. Daniel 10:13, the angel said, Daniel, I would have come sooner. My God, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, it withstood me. My God, 1 in 20 days, their spirit's not only after you, their spirit's trying to bind this whole community. Right. Amen. Oh yes. The spirits that possessed the man of Gadara, they said that their name was Legion, for we are many. Legion speaks of an organized and regimented force, an army division between 3,000. And 6,000 soldiers in a Roman army and included cavalry. Amen. That's why Jesus bounded for. But I want you to understand something. Something that's very important to this preacher. He not only is trying to bind regions, my God, but they're after homes. Entire households. He's not just after David. He's after the house of David. He's not just after Issachar. He's after the house of Issachar. Our God, amen. Get quiet a little bit. Amen. Amen. That spirit will not only attack a man, but that spirit will attack his whole household. And so we've got entire spirits, entire households bound by spirits. Amen. So we got children that are suffering. I got because whole households have been bound by spirits. Amen. They're suffering from Smith devils and Johnson devils and liar devils. Amen. Am I making sense? That's right. Whole households, amen, are suffering, my God, from these spirits. People don't understand. Amen. They just go off and get married. But when you marry somebody, you marry into spirits. Boy, y'all quiet now. Hallelujah. Whole households, whole generations are suffering, my God, from a spirit that their fathers had battled. Amen. Whole households are suffering from a spirit that their grandfather gave in to. Amen. Oh yes, that's right. Whole households and generations are suffering from daddy's devil. That's why you hear men say, my daddy was a drunk, and so I'm supposed to be a drunk. That's why you hear them say, my grandma was this way, and that's why I'm this way. That's right, daddy's devil. Grandma's devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh yes. I got daddy's spirit that daddy gave in to. Amen. Grandma's spirit. I've got a sister. Amen. My only real sister, whole sister. Amen. I've got half sisters and step sisters and half brothers and half, all of that. Amen. But my only real sister. Amen. We've got both grandmas on both sides. Amen. Had a lot of problems. Different things. Amen. And my sister, we always knew that it was on the way and it was coming. My God, but my sister always battled with the same spirits that took a hold of my mother, that took a hold of my grandmother on both sides. Amen. Oh yes, my sister, amen, was seduced in the back seat of a police car by a policeman who was also her youth leader in the church. Amen. Oh yes. Spirits. My God. Oh, I hope you understand how important it is this morning. You have to understand, my God, that it's more. My God, there's some scary things at Halloween. My God, but there are spirits. My God, you've got to understand the enemy is after me. He's after me. Whole generations bound by spirits. Whole households bound by spirits. Amen. Whole homes bound by spirits. Amen. But you know what I like about the blood of Jesus? You thought I was going to get too tight, didn't you? You know what I like about the power of God, Brother Myers? Amen. I can not only take back what the devil stole from me, but if service this morning, I can take back what the devil stole from my daddy. And I can take back what the devil stole from my grandma. And I can take back what the devil stole from my grandma. And that lets me know my children ain't got to fight that battle. I got my grandchildren ain't got to be battle. Now you hear me this morning. I got, you can do more, I got, than save yourself. You can take back what the devil stole from your grandmother, your grandfather. I got in your fathers and your mothers. I got, I'm doing more. I got them gaining back control of my life. I'm reaching back down in generations and I'm pulling back. I got what the devil stole from my ancestors. I got, devil, you ain't in control tonight. God said, I'll give you back the years of the cankerworm destroyed. I'm reaching back into those generations and I'm gaining control of it this morning. Because I refuse for my daughter to have to fight that battle. I refuse for my son to have to face that thing. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You fought it, and now your children's fighting it. I'm not just talking to Christians here. I'm talking to both of us. You gave in to it, and now we wring our hands because little Susie's given in to it too. My daddy, he's saved now. I remember being about 3 or 4 years old, watching my daddy when my mother was pregnant with my little sister. I watched him pick her up and slam her on the kitchen floor, break her collarbone. She went to the hospital and said she fell. I may be a little too candid. There's been times where Sister Shanna said something I didn't like. And there's something rose up in me and I wanted to. But not only that, but I watched my little boy playing with toys. And KB snatched that toy out of his hand and he grit his teeth. What is that? The enemy's not just after me. He's after my children. And now I see in my little boy rage that I've seen in the mirror. Come on now. And the thing about it is, I got, if I'll pray through, I got, I'll keep the power of God in our life. If I keep the power of the Holy Ghost in my home, I got, those spirits have got to bow and they've got to be in subjection to the power of God. Oh, he said, I'll give you back the years that the cankerworm destroyed. Your mama might have been a drug addict. Your daddy might have been a drunk. Your grandma might have been a harlot. My God, but you can take it back. I said you can take it back in this service this morning. Our God, the blood of Jesus says you can. The power of the Holy Ghost says you can. God says you can. The cross says you can come back. Because the enemy. You have to understand. That the attack of the enemy is not a spur of the moment attack. He doesn't just get mad and attack you. He doesn't just get mad because you shouted on Sunday and starts to attack you on Monday. But last Monday, he was planning the attack for this Monday. You underestimate your enemy. You underestimate your enemy. I got, because it's a planned attack. He doesn't just get mad and attack you. There are familiar spirits following you everywhere you go. Sure. We read over in, where was it? We read over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28.
at Saul. King Saul sought out a woman of Endor, witch of Endor. He wanted to call up Samuel to prophesy, tell him what to do. I'll let you know something this morning, that wasn't Samuel. The enemy had the keys of death and in hell, but he did not have the keys of paradise. That was not Samuel. The witch of Endor did not have power to bring Samuel from the grave. But a spirit come up, the Bible says. And it looked like Samuel. It dressed like Samuel. It talked like Samuel. And it prophesied like Samuel. There was familiar spirits that knew everything about Samuel. And there's people, there's spirits that's been assigned to your life. They know everything about you. They know what makes you mad. They know what makes you happy. They know what picks you up. They know what puts you down. They know how to pick you up when you don't need to be up. And they know how to drop you when you need to be up. Amen. They know. Amen. Everything about you. Amen. They're familiar spirits. And the bad thing about that is, our God is because, amen, He knows what your weakness is. And He knows, my God, you underestimate your enemy. He knows what makes you mad. He knows what makes you fly off the handle. He knows what makes you run after lust. He knows, my God, He knows what your temptation is. And He has a custom fit temptation to take you out. Samson was a man. The Holy Ghost had come on him. He snatched the gates off the city, towed them up on a hill just to prove a point. Holy Ghost get on him. 1,000 men rise up against him. He didn't have a sword. All he had was a donkey. So he went to get the donkey to sling at him and grabbed him by the jawbone. It said it was a new jawbone. Instead of slinging the donkey, he snatched the jawbone right out of the donkey's mouth and beat 1,000 men with it. And then drank out of it like it was a water bottle. Power. He laid down in Gaza with a prostitute. Right? He laid down with a prostitute in Gaza. Amen. Heard the Philistine, jumped up out of bed, went and snatched the gate off the city. Towed him up on the hill. But in verse 4 of that chapter, he meets a woman by the name of Delilah. And the Bible said he loved her. You see, the prostitute in Gaza was just his toy. Amen. But that woman, Delilah, he loved her. Amen. Now, the Bible doesn't give us one characteristic of Delilah. It doesn't tell us what her hair color was. It doesn't tell us what her eye color was. It doesn't tell us what her features were. Because God wants you to fill in the blank. What's your Delilah look like? What's your Delilah talk like? What's your Delilah? My God. Everybody in here's got a Delilah. That's right. Everybody in here's got a Delilah. And you fill in the blanks. This is what I like. I like blue eyes and blonde hair. I like brown eyes. You understand what I'm saying? It may not be. She's not a woman at all. You have to understand. She's not a woman. She's a spirit. A spirit that's been, my God. A God that's been sent His way. A God to take Him out. Amen. Because you see, the devil's not going to tempt you with something you don't want. Is that right? Ain't no need of him throwing a cigarette pack in my on the table. And for me, it don't bother me. I don't care about Winston. I don't care about Marlboro. I don't care about Newport. I don't care about none of that. None of it bothers me. Amen. But throw a cigarette pack on your table, and you might have trouble with that. Is that right? Amen. Oh, you might set a cold beer in front of me and I've drank him times past. Amen. But it don't bother me. I don't have no trouble. But you set a cold beer or a quart of whiskey in front of some of us and we're going to have a problem with that. Amen. That's a Delilah in our life and it's a custom fit plan. You're on hell's hit list right now this morning. Amen. The enemy's after you. He's after your children. He's after your family. He's after your church. And he's got a custom fit plan to take you out. But I like this. I heard a story the other day. Napoleon was on his way to conquer the world. He had a map laid out on a table and he'd get all of his warlords together and he'd
point out his conquest. And he had red dots on the places where he hadn't conquered yet. He laid that map out one day and there was one red dot on a country by the name of England. He said, if it wasn't for that one red dot, I could have the whole world. Satan's laid out a map of the world this morning. He laid out a map of Orlando, Apopka area. He said, I could have this whole area if it wasn't for that one red dot on Gray Street. I could have this whole family right here. But if it wasn't for that one red dot, I could have that whole generation right here. If it wasn't for that one mama that still prayed, I could have that whole family and those children. If it wasn't for that daddy that stayed faithful to God, I could have the whole thing. If it wasn't for that red dot, I'm going to tell you this morning, I can't control what hell does everywhere else. I can't control what it does in your life. I can't control what it does in your family. But there's one thing for sure, my friend. I can control what it does in my house. I can control what it does in my family. I can control what it does in my body. God, you got to tell the devil, get out of my house. You are no longer in control. I remind me of the story of the man of Gadara. That man of Gadara, bound by spirits. What a sad, sad story. Bound by spirits. I told you 3,000 to 6,000 of them possessed his life. The man is not known by name. We never know his name. We never know what his real name is. He's known by the man of Gadara. He's also known by legion. How many times have we read or mentioned the story and we called the man legion? Huh? He's known by his problem. That's right. He's not known as George. He's known as drunk. Come on now. He's not known as Susan. He's known as prostitute. You understand what I'm saying? He's known by his problem. But we don't know his name, but he was wandering in the tombs, cutting himself, bound by spirits, just wandering around in the tombs. One day, a man named Jesus puts his foot on the shore of Gadara. And we don't know his name, but something inside of him perked up. Something called his name. I don't know what his name was. It might have been George. It might have been John. It might have been Joe. It might have been, amen, Catherine. It might have been Amanda. It might have been Jessica. But we don't know his name, but something, when it stepped on that shore, started calling his name. And that man, when Jesus stepped on the shore, he couldn't be bound by chains. He cut himself with stones. No man could tame him. It was something about when Jesus stepped on the shore, he comes running. I said he comes running and he falls down at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Something called his name. Something called, amen. And something, I don't know what his name was. I'm just going to use myself. Amen. That's that Jesus. I'm trying to close here. Amen. Jesus steps on that shore. Sky! God, come here. 6,000 devils are saying, don't go. Are you with me? 6,000 spirits of hell are holding him back. 6,000 troubles and problems and situations are pulling on him, but somehow he's running. Somehow he's running because something calling his name. Right here this morning, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe God's helping us. Amen. But somehow this morning, I believe that somebody's crying, help. The enemy is after me. The enemy is after me. This message, I really could preach it over about 5 or 6 services. Amen. But I wanted to give it to you because somebody's crying this morning, help! The enemy is after me. Something's calling my name and everything in hell is holding me back. Oh, but I'm telling you, the only way, how God, you can get what you need is if you run to Jesus. Run to His presence. Run to His power. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under shadow. God, hide me. I want to let you know, Mother, this morning. I want to let you know, hell's not only after you, but He's after your children and your grandchildren. Hell's not just after you, sir, but He's after your wife and your family. And He's not going to stop because you quit coming to church. He's not going to leave you alone because you're not in church. The way of the transgressor is hard. You know why? Because when I'm in the house of God, He's trying to get me out of the house of God. But when I'm out of the house of God, He's trying to kill me. That's right. The way of a transgressor is hard. I want to tell you this morning, something's calling your name. You hear me? I just want to come by and warn you. The enemy is after you. And he's not going to stop until you're in the tomb. He's not going to stop until your name's in the obituary column. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to aware you. The enemy is after me. You need to wake up and realize I'm fighting a real devil. You'd only understand. If you'd only understand that there's spirits working together. You're that important. He wants to take the breath out of your body. It's like them young people sat on the back row of that church, and that they would laugh and cutting up there in service. That preacher, Brother Kenny Morris, come by and said, "You'll soon laugh no more." He turned around and said, "My Lord, why did I say something like that?" They got up out of the church and went on down the road laughing, cutting up. You think hell was satisfied because they left church? No, he wasn't satisfied till he had that car rolling. When they found the young girl, she was under the hood of the car. The wreck didn't kill her. But the oil dripping out of the car down her throat as she screamed killed her. And she laughed no more. You think hell was satisfied because they left church that night giggling and laughing? No. He wasn't satisfied until the life was out of their bodies. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He wants you. Would you stand with me? I wish I could preach to you this morning. I want everybody that will find you somewhere to pray right now. I don't want to single nobody out. If you're not saved, just pray with everybody else. I want you to come, everybody. Everybody needs to understand in this house, the enemy is after me. The enemy is after me. And my only refuge is the blood of Christ. I want to be that red dot in my family. I want to be that red dot in my generation. I want to be that red dot in my neighborhood, God.